Welcome back to the deep dive. So, have you ever had that feeling where your mind is just constantly revving its engine? You know, you're stuck in high gear even when you're just trying to relax.
Oh, absolutely. That kind of high-speed turbulence inside your own head, it's a feeling of constant pressure to just move or decide or react.
Exactly. And that is exactly where we're going today. We're doing a focused deep dive into Chapter 41 of the RAFT program.
Right, which is all about one of the five hazards. Anxiety and agitation.
Yeah, and our mission here is to pull out the key strategies for getting a handle on this this high arousal mental state, not just for a formal practice, but for bringing some clarity back into your daily life.
Which is so important.
So, just to quickly set the stage, the RAFT framework, and that's pronounced just like the word raft, is a journey. It's an acronym for Recognize, Abandon, Freedom, and Train.
And this chapter lands right in that third stage, freedom.
Which is all about freeing ourselves from these mm-hmm. mental weather patterns that can feel so tyrannical.
And that context is so key. Because these five hazards, or hindrances, as they're also called, they're universal. They're just part of the inner weather that clouds up our thinking.
So it's not a personal failing, it's just a human thing.
Exactly. The RAFT program uses a lot of the teachings from Gautama the Buddha, who had some really powerful images for this.
What kind of images are we talking about?
Well, he likened a mind blocked by these hazards to water, but not clear water. It's water that's boiling or dark or stirred up by the wind. Imagine trying to see your reflection in a choppy lake. You can't.
Right, you get nothing but distortion.
And that's the point. They actively block clear perception. So they mess with your judgment right when you need it most.
Okay, so let's break down this specific hazard, anxiety and agitation. The program uses the old term, udaka kukuka.
Yeah, it's a mouthful. But it's basically a twin threat. You've got two things going on at once.
So on one side, you have restlessness. That's the classic monkey mind, just jumping all over the place.
Yep. Pure mental agitation. And on the other side, you've got remorse. And that's that painful, sticky fixation on past mistakes or worry or guilt. It's just high-octane mental static.
And what's the root of all that static? Where does it come from?
Well, the root is what the program calls delusion. It's basically a cognitive failure. It's a failure to see reality clearly, especially the fact that everything is always changing, you know, impermanence.
So we get agitated because we're trying to hold on to things that can't be held.
Exactly. We struggle and we worry because we're trying to control things that are, by their nature, uncontrollable. The water similes really nail this.
Okay, so how do they connect?
Restlessness is like water stirred by the wind. The surface is so choppy, you can't see the present moment clearly.
Right.
And remorse. That's like water muddied with clay. That guilt and worry make it impossible to discern anything. You're being pulled down into the past while the restlessness is pushing you towards some imagined future.
That really connects to how this shows up in modern life, that constant turbulence. It's what some people call hurry sickness.
That's a great term for it.
It feels purposeful, right? We think being busy and fast means we're being important, but it's just quietly... Well, it's eroding our ability to think clearly.
It creates a really damaging feedback loop.
Mm-hmm.
The speed creates agitation, and then the agitation seems to demand more speed to fix it.
Right. But I have to ask, for someone listening who is, you know, high-performing, busy, is there a risk that calming this agitation means you lose your edge, that you become less productive?
That is a critical question.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is the paradox here. This whole system starts as an adaptive alarm, you know, a low danger threshold, great for survival.
Okay.
But it becomes maladaptive. It spirals into this chronic state of hypervigilance. You aren't actually solving problems anymore. You're just stuck on high alert.
And trying to push it down doesn't work.
No. In fact, trying to suppress that restless feeling or just speed through it makes it stronger. You can't find calm by fighting the turbulence. You have to change your relationship to it.
Okay. That brings us to what the RAFT program says is the most critical point here. The danger of this hazard off the cushion. Why is this so much more dangerous in our daily lives than it is during practice?
Because during practice, agitation is just a nuisance. It's a distraction. But out in the world, it acts like a mental black hole. It literally collapses your awareness and your executive function.
Your executive function. So you mean your ability to make good decisions.
And your ability to stop yourself from making bad ones. That's what we mean by a breakdown in inhibitory control, when your inner water is all stirred up.
You can't stop yourself from reacting impulsively. You lose the ability to shit the brake.
Precisely. The light of your intelligence is just temporarily out. Your navigational compass goes haywire, and that's when we fall into those reactive urges and destructive habits. Yeah. You're basically flying blind.
And you could argue modern life is almost engineered to make that worse. The program talks about the social gale.
The social gale, yeah. That constant storm of notifications, the comparison traps on social media.
It's like a second wind that's constantly whipping up that monkey mind.
It is. It demands instant reactions to things that aren't actually urgent, and it leaves the mind stuck in that hypervigilant state. It's hard enough to steady the raft in a natural storm, but with this digital gale, it's just overwhelming.
So, looking at this through the RAFT metaphor, how does this hazard show up?
It shows up as two opposing forces. First, you have the choppy waters of restlessness, that's the wind, pulling you toward all these imagined futures and threats.
Okay.
And at the same time, you have the dragging anchor of remorse. That's the weight of the past, all the self-reproach that keeps you from moving forward.
So you're stuck. You're being torn between the future and the past.
Exactly. Stuck in the present, but not present at all.
So if we're caught in that storm, we need some real practical navigation strategies. What tools does the RAFT program give us to handle this?
The foundational strategy for this kind of high arousal state is called postponement. It directly attacks the core belief of hurry sickness.
Which is that everything has to be dealt with right now.
Right. So when that pressure from worry or restlessness builds up, you deliberately pause the rush. You don't ignore it. You name the specific concern.
Okay.
You give it a clear, trustworthy time for review. You say, okay, I will deal with this email at 3:00 p.m. today. And then you commit to putting your attention back on a physical anchor until that time.
That sounds simple, but I can hear someone thinking, isn't that just a fancy word for procrastination? Won't the worry just get worse by 3 p.m.?
And that's the crucial difference. This isn't avoidance. It's scheduled containment. Worry loves to be vague and urgent.
Mm-hmm.
By naming it and scheduling it, you take away both its vagueness and its urgency. You've told your mind, I hear you, this is valid, but now is not the time. And what you often find is that by 3 p.m., that initial emotional charge is gone.
And you can see it more clearly.
Or it doesn't even seem that important anymore. It's like heaving to in a storm, just waiting for the worst of it to pass so you can regain your balance.
I see how that interrupts the story the mind is telling. But then you still have to calm the system down from that hyper-alert state. What are the grounding strategies?
There are three main ones. First is to ground the anchor. When your mind is running away, you deliberately shift your focus to a reliable physical sensation.
Like the breath.
The breath, the feeling of your feet on the floor, the pressure of the chair, anything that's happening right here, right now, it immediately gets you off that runaway thought train.
Okay, what's second?
Second, you emphasize the out-breath. When we're agitated, our breathing gets shallow and fast, which just keeps that fight-or-flight system active.
So you want to slow it down?
Specifically the out-breath. Just making it a little bit longer than your inhale activates the parasympathetic nervous system. That's the body's natural braking system.
And the third one?
The third is micro-grounding. This is so powerful. It's about using those little in-between moments.
Like waiting for the kettle to boil.
Exactly. Or walking to a meeting or standing in a queue. Instead of letting your mind rush ahead, you use those 10-20 seconds to consciously drop your anchor. It breaks the momentum of that automatic rushing.
So you've got the physical grounding, and I imagine you need a mental strategy to go with it to sort through the actual worry.
Yes, and that's where discernment comes in. When a worry pops up, you use this tool to separate your circle of concern from your circle of influence.
Explain that. The circle of concern is...
everything your mind could possibly worry about. Politics, the past, the future, what other people think, all of it.
And the circle of influence.
That's the tiny slice of reality you can actually do something about right now.
So the strategy is to figure out which circle the worry is in.
Precisely. If there's a small action you can take, you take it. If it's outside your influence, you have to acknowledge it and then skillfully decline to worry about it. It moves you from feeling futile to feeling like you have some agency.
That's incredibly powerful. So let's put this into the bigger picture of the RAFT program. These strategies don't exist in a vacuum, right? They're supported by other skills.
Exactly. The foundation for handling this comes from the five defenders, which are strengths you build up earlier in the program.
Like what?
For this specific hazard, two are key. A gathered mind is the direct antidote to being scattered. And confidence is vital for countering the self-doubt that comes from remorse.
And then there are things we learn later, too.
Yes. The seven supports of awakening, which are coming up in later chapters. These are like specific antidotes. For agitation, there's a calming triad. fostering deep calm, developing a unified mind to collect that scattered energy, and finding balance or equanimity.
And the program uses such a striking metaphor for the freedom you gain when you get a handle on this. It's likened to being freed from slavery.
It's a strong image, but it fits.
It really does. You're no longer forced to obey these erratic, worried thoughts that are not serving you. You actually get your autonomy back. You get to choose how you navigate instead of being driven by chaos.
And for that remorse piece specifically, the path isn't to pretend you didn't make a mistake. It's to meet that self-criticism with compassion.
So you see remorse as a signal, not a verdict.
Exactly. It's a signal that your values were crossed. If you can make a repair, you take the smallest possible step. If you can't, you learn and you move forward. You don't let it become a trap.
This has been such a clear breakdown of a state that can feel just so overwhelming. So the main takeaway seems to be that this high arousal storm is rooted in delusion. But we have real tools. We can anchor our attention.
Distinguish what we can influence from what we can't.
And use that postponement strategy to just interrupt the whole cycle of urgency.
And before we finish, for anyone listening who wants to go deeper with this, it's really important to know that the whole RAFT program, the RAFT to Freedom Workbook, all 66 chapters, is written by Dr. Catherine Jacob and Vince Cullen.
And they are making it freely available online.
Yes, completely free. You can find everything we've talked about and much more at RAFT2Freedom.org. That's RAFT, the number 2, freedom.org.
An amazing resource. Okay, so for you, our listener, here is a self-reflection prompt to take with you. It builds right on that idea of discernment we talked about.
The question is this. What proportion of your current worries fall within your circle of influence versus your circle of concern alone?
And then how does recognizing that difference change your immediate sense of agitation? Just hold that question this week and see what you notice.
And we'll leave you with a quote from the end of this chapter. Anxiety is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained.